Hello and welcome to another episode of the Side by Side ATC podcast. I'm your host, Tom Haynes, and this week we're going to answer the question, what should I focus on during radar at the academy? And so I'm going to go through a little bit of what the radar portion is going to be like. First, the classroom stuff, the lesson plans, and then we'll get into what to focus on and how to handle the labs, how to study, things like that. So to get started, the radar portion, of course, you will have taken your non-radar evals, two evals in one day, and then they give you a lot of time to worry about that and recover from that. Because the next day you start radar. And so some days, of course, it'll be one weekday to the next. Every once in a while, you'll eval your non-radar on a Friday, and you'll have a weekend to recover. But most of the time, you get one evening, and then you come back the next day, and you start radar. The first few lessons in radar are really just background, not a whole lot of information that you're going to need for the labs. As far as the CKT2 test, just focus on the end of lesson tests for all the lessons, and you should be good on most of that. You will have your aircraft characteristics test about, I think it's day four in the radar classroom. And before that, you will have a lesson. Looks like it's the fourth lesson. When I was doing it, they may have changed the lesson numbering around, but I'm thinking they probably are going to keep that fairly standard. But it's about, you'll have one on radar identification and how you can identify people using radar. And then you'll have handoff and point out procedures, and your point outs are going to be huge in the radar lab. You need to be able to do them in your sleep. You need to be able to do the phraseology without thinking about it. You need to know when you can do it. You need to know that if your brain is telling you you need to make a point out, make the point out. And you will have plenty of time to practice. You will have a lot of time to practice, and we'll get to that a little bit later once you get into the radar lab. But the ones to worry about are the radar identification, the handoff and point out procedures. The handoff and point out procedures in the schedule they give the instructors, it starts one day and ends the next day. And I know as instructors, we don't like to break up lessons if we can keep from it. And so a lot of leads will make it where that doesn't get broken up. And so they may move certain lessons around to have it where you can spend one whole day on nothing but handoff and point out procedures. And then they've got some pretty good ways for you to practice that in the classroom, looking at a radar up on the screen and practicing your point outs, practicing your phraseology, practice prioritizing which handoff or point out is going to come next. And that's going to be a huge thing for the radar lab. So definitely concentrate on those. After that, you'll have some radar separation, safety alerts, radar vectoring, which is great, but you're going to be the D side, you're going to be the radar assistant, you're not going to do any vectoring. It's in there though as a lesson. And then you get into emergencies, and they're going to go over emergencies in detail. And it's good to know. It's information that you need to know. You're going to face so many emergencies in the radar lab once they get to problem 8, if I remember right, is when emergencies get introduced. And you're going to have an emergency or 2 or 5 every day. So get used to it. The emergencies lesson is supposed to be on the same day as your aircraft characteristics test. It doesn't always happen that way. And then you're going to get some lessons on weather, which is always important. You're going to get a lesson on military operations. Pay attention to that one. There'll be some military airspace that may be questions on CKT-2. And you're going to deal with a lot of military aircraft in the radar. And you'll probably see 3 or 4 of them when it comes to your evals. And so after that, you're going to start going into more of what is going to be happening in the lab. And so you're going to go over your position relief briefing. You will get a relief briefing at the beginning of every scenario in the radar lab, and then you'll have to give a relief briefing at the end of every scenario. And that relief briefing on the evals is worth 5 points. It's all or nothing. It has to be complete. If you miss anything or leave anything off that the evaluator deems is important, it's going to be, you're going to lose those 5 points. So pay attention to the relief briefings. They will have a written relief briefing for you to use in the radar lab. And so don't leave anything off. Then you'll have a couple of lessons on team responsibilities, which is, you know, kind of a, you know, I don't think there's a whole lot that you'll be responsible for that. And then the always lovely fatigue awareness, which you probably had during basics, you're going to have again. Most leads that I worked with, and when I was a lead instructor, we didn't actually do that complete lesson. It's a long, long lesson. And just know, I can give you the gist of it right now. You're going to be tired. You're going to be fatigued. Try not to use over-the-counter medications. Try not to use too much caffeine. Try not to use too many ways of mitigating the fatigue. Just know that you're going to be fatigued. And the FAA has gone through different things that are trying to keep controllers from becoming fatigued. But that's pretty much the last lesson that they have for you in radar. And like I said, most leads don't even go over the lesson. We'll talk about it. We'll answer any questions that you might have about being fatigued, about what the schedule might be at your different facility, and different facilities handle it different. So, you know, that is what it is. You'll start at some point going over the radar lab procedures and the SOP. You're going to have some computer messaging labs in the classroom with instructors. Use those, ask questions, pay attention. There's a lot of really good stuff from those. And they go over the different ways that you can do the computer entries. And for most of the stuff in the radar lab, there's two ways. There's the legacy way, what they call the legacy way, and the template. When you do your checklist eval, you're going to have to know how to do it both ways, because they will specify and put the flight plan in legacy, put the flight plan in with the template. And then as far as running the scenarios and when you're doing your evals, just do the one that you're more comfortable with. I can do a flight plan the legacy way. I can do a flight plan using a template at the center, at the tower that I'm working at now. Legacy is the only way you can do it. There is no template to go by. But it doesn't take long to get used to that. And they have a little lab that you can practice on. And I would suggest practicing. It's kind of like the phraseology for the point outs. You have to know how to do the keyboard entries. So practice them. There's no reason not to. Okay? So, about halfway through all the computer messaging, you'll have your CKT2 test, and then some more, like I said, some more computer message. Then they'll actually have one in the lab where you get to practice. Besides the computer entries, you get to practice using the simulated VSCS voice communication system they have. Be thankful that an instructor, probably about a year and a half, 2 years before I left the academy, an instructor came up with a really good way for remotes and students to practice that. And he used it for his class. The FA thought it was so good that they adopted it. And there were a couple little errors on it that I personally didn't like as a lead or a lead, but overall it was so much better than what they had before. And so you'll be used to using the communication system by the time you start running your scenarios in the radar lab. And then you'll have you'll also have a scanning lesson. Scanning, I've talked about on a previous episode, but scanning is your main focus is going to be the radar. I mean, it is what is happening in real time at the moment. And then you're going to have a computer screen in front of you, and that is part of your scan. You're going to have some strips in front of you. That's part of your scan. And you're going to have the printer. You have to get strips that print off the printer, and that's part of your scan. You have to be aware of it. You can't just leave all the stuff there. You need to be picking stuff up off the printer. And so it's a continuous scan. Even if you're not doing anything, even if there's nothing urgent, there's no task for you to do right that moment, you have to keep scanning and keep assuming that the FAA is lulling you to sleep. There's a reason there's nothing going on, and it's to try and get you with your guard down. And so don't let them, you know, be ready for it. And so after all that, you get to start the labs. And I have a list of most of what the different runs are. I'll just give you a brief overview because it doesn't really help you to know, although I'll get to a little thing that you can help yourself when I get towards the end of this episode. But the first scenario, the first problem one, is very similar to problem one in non-radar. It's very basic. Problem one in the radar lab is all about point outs, giving point outs and taking point outs, approving point outs. And if you don't know the phraseology for it, it is going to show. It's going to show like a sore thumb. So you need to practice that. You have to practice that. You have to have that phraseology down. Like I said earlier, you have to be able to do that in your sleep. You don't want to be thinking about how you're going to say it. You just need to be able to say it. And that's part of that air traffic controller language that you have to learn and you have to be fluent in. Now, you don't have to be fluent to run problem one, but you want to be fluent by the time you get to problem two, which comes right after problem one. I know that surprises you. But see, problem two is going to introduce some new stuff. And then problem three is going to introduce new stuff. And problem four is going to introduce new stuff. And if you're still working on your phraseology for problem one, you're behind. You're already behind. And the way the program is laid out, it's very difficult to come back from being behind. You don't want to get behind. You want to stay ahead of it. Okay? So, you'll run problem 1, problem 2, 2A, 2B, 3, 3A, 3B, 4, 4A, 4B, 5, 5A, 5B, 6, and so on. Up through 10, 10A, 10B, then 11. It will be, let me make sure I get this right. IJK, I think. No. KLM, it'll be 11. KLM. And then NOP, 12. KLM, NOP. Don't hold me to that. It's been a while. But I think that's the way it's going to go. But those 11s and 12s are important because they just throw stuff at you. From 1 through 10, every time you have just the number, not an A or B, every time you have just a number, that's when they introduce the new thing, or the new things, because it will probably be more than one. And on some days, it's a lot of new things. Okay, so that'll happen at the end of your day. Okay, so they introduce the new thing at the end of the day. And then the next day you come in and you run the A and B, where they give you that new thing just in different ways. Okay? And they'll continue to use the stuff from the previous problems. So like 4A will have everything from 1, 2, and 3 plus 4. And it just keeps building and it keeps building and it keeps building. Some of the more interesting problems, if I remember right, are 8B and anything in the 11s and 12s, specifically the 11s. They can be a lot of fun. The instructor demo, which you will have one just like you had an instructor demo in non-radar, where you get to sit and watch the instructors work the D side. Okay, you've seen the instructors work in the R side, all in the radar lab, and then you get to watch the instructors run the D side. And it's very interesting, very informative. They will sit there and discuss what they're looking for, what they see, and you get to hear them do it. And hopefully, they're using the correct phraseology and the correct methodology to do it, so that you get to see how they would run it. And one of the things that you're going to see when you watch an instructor demo is just how much time they have. Because they will have time. They're running the equivalent of 8B. It used to be 8B itself, and then they kind of took some things out of it for the instructors. But even running 8B, when you run it, you're going to be pretty much overwhelmed. It's a very interesting problem. But when the instructors run it, you're going to see them with so much time to turn around, talk to you, answer questions, things like that. And you're going to be going, I didn't have this much time. But you actually did. They're just showing you how much time you do have to get things done. So don't rush. Do things correctly. Do it correctly the first time, and you will have time. So, one of the things about the radar lab that, and the radar portion of the academy that I really want to hammer on, and it came up in the Discord chat in the last day or so, And it's very easy as a class to practice together in non-radar. You're running problems, you're learning it, and it just it sets itself up where it's easy to do as a class, and you really need to do it as a class in order to practice in non-radar problems. You have to have at least three people. One to do the controller, one to do the remote, and one to make sure the controller is doing it right and the remote's doing it right. And so it's not as easy to do that and to practice when you're in radar. And I've covered this in previous episodes on this podcast. You have to keep studying. You have to keep studying the phraseology. You have to keep studying the keyboard entries. You have to keep studying the steps that you have to go through for these things when they happen. You have to go through the steps of what to do when you have a departure. What do you do when you have an arrival? What do you do when you have to go into holding? What do you do? You have to practice these things. And you have to practice these things together for the main purpose of holding each other accountable to do it correctly. It's very easy to get sloppy when you're practicing by yourself. You have to hold each other accountable. And the only way to do that is to practice together. You know, I've talked about you can practice point outs in the drive to and from the academy every day. You know, you can practice it driving around anytime. Any license plate becomes call sign. And just decide you're going to do point outs up by Sidon. You're going to do point outs northeast of Monroe. You're going to do point outs north of Magnolia, south of Magnolia. You know, just you're going to do a point outs to the approach controls. Whatever you want to practice on that day, practice it. Practice it together. If you're practicing together, then the other student can come up with traffic for the point out, which you're going to have. Practice military change of destination. Practice these things. Practice apparating eye off doffs. Practice, you know, whatever you can think of. Practice the emergencies. Practice the steps you have to go through to handle the emergency. The more you practice, the more you make this second nature, the more confident you will be when you walk through that door in the lab. And that is huge. The more confident you will be, the more you have practiced. I cannot overemphasize that. It is so important. But you have to help each other. And right up until that last day when you start choosing which facility you're going to, you're a team. You have to get as many of your teammates, many of your classmates through the academy as you can. Just consider it your challenge. You want to be that class that gets 100%. It's been done. It hasn't been done often, but it has been done. I never had a class that got 100%. I think the closest we got was around almost 90% of the class through. And it was a huge accomplishment. So be that class that gets 100%. One thing I wanted to talk about was when you're in the radar lab in the breakout room, they will, on the wall, they will have a list of what will be new each day. So either just write them all down for yourself. I would say pull your phone out and take a picture of it, but I'm not sure what the FAA's policy is for taking pictures around the academy these days. They frowned upon it when I was there. But at least take the time when you're in the breakout room to write down what is coming. That way you are prepared. You can prepare yourself for what's coming the next day. You can stay ahead of it. That is how you stay ahead of this program. Be aware of what's coming. Your instructors will prepare you for what's coming at the end of the day, each day.
but you can go into each day knowing what things are going to be talked about that day. So you're prepared. It's one thing that you can do to help. And I would wholeheartedly suggest that you do that and that you get everyone in your class to do that. Everyone in your class should know what's going to come up on which day in that radar lab. Nothing should be a surprise. Okay? So do that as a class. So that's the radar portion. We'll talk about on a different episode. Next week, we'll talk about non-radar. And then after that, we'll talk about, you know, what the evals are going to be like and some of the ways that you can help yourself get through those 3 days, one in non-radar, two in radar. But I hope I've covered what you wanted to know about the radar portion of the academy. It's, in some ways, it's not as intense as non-radar, and in some ways, it's more intense. It's more intense in that it is more of what you're going to be doing, and that 66 points at the end makes it more intense. It just does. And there's the pressure begins to mount, and it's amazing to watch what you guys as students go through. And that's why I'm here. That's my goal, is just to offer, number one, some words of encouragement, and hopefully kind of let you know some inside tricks that can get you through. And so hang in there. If you're in the radar portion, hang in there. If you want to ask some questions, email me. The email will be in the episode notes. Love to hear from you. Thank you guys so much for continuing to listen to these podcasts, continuing to download them. Just continue to hit subscribe. Continue to send these to friends, family, anyone that you think might benefit from the podcast. This is pretty much our marketing. We are going to start doing some other marketing, but that will be mainly for the coaching program that I talked about on the last episode. But hang in there if you're in the radar. If you're in the non-radar, we'll get to you next week. But I feel for you guys. I wish I could give you more and more and more information and be there with you going through it. There's nothing like going through it with a class of students, and you get to the point, I know your instructors care so much about you by the end of the class. It's a lot of time to spend together, and you grow so much. You have already grown so much as controllers when you get to radar. And just make that your goal, that you want to grow every day. You're going to make mistakes. Don't worry about it. Don't let it get you down. Just go in the next day and don't make the same mistakes. Okay? But thank you again for listening to this podcast. I love doing it. And hopefully it's helping you. And until next week, you guys have a good day. Bye.